part. We reach chapter 7. Begin with text 17. Lord Brahma has come to investigate for himself the tremendous outcry that the residents of Dwarka, along with Krishna, were making. Krishna was in a state of anxiety as a result of his feelings of separation from Vrindavan and the Brajvasis. And Lord Brahma, being the qualitative incarnation of Krishna, responsible for the creation, administration of the universe, is very, very intelligent. So he controlled his emotions and determined that the best thing to do would be to take Krishna and Balaram, who were lying on the ground unconscious in a state of transcendental ecstasy, different consciousness, not in external consciousness. The devotees, when Krishna or Lord Chaitanya go into these states of extreme ecstasy, which only they can exhibit, they become an anxiety because at those times the Lord withdraws himself from external consciousness. And the devotees want to be with Krishna. They want to be with Krishna. They want to serve Krishna. They want to touch Krishna. They want to take prasadam with Krishna. They want to live with Krishna. This is the desire of the devotee, to always be with Krishna, to always live with Krishna. So Brahma thought what to do to bring Krishna back to his original consciousness. And he devised this plan that that Garuda would take Krishna and Balaram to Nava Vrindavan. Nava Vrindavan means New Vrindavan. There's a place Vishwakarma constructed just near Dwarka that resembled exactly Raj, Vrindavan. And it was built by Vishwakarma so that Krishna would have a place to go when he was feeling separation from Krishna. But the problem was, when he went there, his feelings of separation got worse, so he didn't go there. So anyway, Garuda is taking him there, and the other Dwarkavasis were instructed by Brahma that you should not come along because, you know, Krishna will not be able to believe that he is in Vrindavan if you are all there. Only Rohini can go, because Rohini was there and she knows very intelligently what to do. She's mature. Balaram's mother, she's mature. She knows, she will know how to act, what to say, what to do, so that not to disturb Krishna's reverie, his ecstasy of being in Vrindavan. And Garuda, after delivering Krishna Balaram to New Vrindavan, then he stationed himself very high in the sky. And that's where we begin the reading for today. Text 17. Garudas Chopadi Pyongna Stitva Pratyakshamatmanaha Prakshabhyam Acharans Chayam Anavartatatam Prabhum. Garuda positioned himself even higher in the sky, invisibly following his master to provide shade with his wings. Ata Krishna Gajak Prapta Chanena Swastatamiva Tam Savartam Avibritya Vichakshana Shiromani. This is an important point about Garuda. Garuda is not on the same level as the Dwarkavasis, not on the same level definitely as the Brajavasis. But he's a great devotee, so he knows, you know, not to get too close, not to intrude, not to interrupt this drama that Lord Brahma is directing. But still, he's not envious. Devotees are in different levels of devotional service, different levels of intimacy with Krishna. And the devotees who are in less intimacy with Krishna than other devotees, they don't envy the devotees who are more intimate with Krishna. They don't feel bad when they see Krishna, you know, wanting to be with certain devotees. Just like it will describe later on in this chapter, the queens of Krishna, they don't feel bad when they hear Krishna lamenting and wanting to be with Radharani and the gopis and the cowherd boys and his parents in Vrindavan. Krishna is always thinking of Vrindavan too. Even when he's in Dwarka, even when he's in Mathura, he's always thinking of Vrindavan, always lamenting. When will he be able to go there? When will he be able to go there? He is always torn after he leaves Vrindavan. He's always torn between these two things. The duty of his mission to save the world, which he promised he would do, and his own personal preference, which is to be in Vrindavan with his most intimate devotee. So it is this conflict that causes sometimes Krishna to go into deep reveries and deep ecstatic moods of vipalabha bhava, of the feelings of separation from Vrindavan. So this is an important point, that Garuda positioned himself far away, invisibly. He didn't need to be right there with Krishna saying, "See Krishna, look, I'm giving you service, look, here I am, here I am." Devotees sometimes, they want to be right there, you know, they want to be the ones to do the deity worship, they want to be the ones to be with the spiritual master, they want to be the ones at the, you know, standing in front of the deities to get the first arti lamp, and all those different kinds of things. But actually, advanced devotional service means that we're interested in serving. We're interested in serving Krishna. Whether we are physically present or visibly present or not, we serve. So here's Garuda stationing himself high in the sky, invisibly, but, you know, shading Krishna, following Krishna around and shading him from the sun. Keeps his service going. This is the meaning of the verse. The service should not stop. Our service to Krishna should not stop under any circumstances. There are varieties of service to do, and those varieties of service are unlimited. Therefore, we can do service to Krishna anywhere, anytime, any place. Prabhupada said the goal is to be 24 hours a day. That means even in our dreams we can serve Krishna. But we have to first of all make our service to Krishna while we're conscious continuous. And if we do that, then automatically when we go into our dream state, rest at night, we will think of Krishna. We will dream of Krishna, dream of serving Krishna. So there's no impediments. When devotees think, "I need this facility or I need that facility, or they're not giving me this facility or they're not giving me that facility, how can I serve Krishna?" This is a product of illusion. These thoughts are product of illusion. And until one reaches this state of devotional service, where one's service goes on constantly, one cannot be completely satisfied. So that dissatisfaction is not caused by somebody else imposing something on us that is stopping us from serving. That is self-imposed. It is self-imposed. There's no impediment to performing devotional service. After a few minutes, Krishna's brother came back almost to normal consciousness. That best of discerning thinkers understood the entire situation. Commentary. Until Krishna recovered from his confusion, Balaram could not feel completely normal. This is expressed here by the word Eva. But still, he recognized Brahma's plan and acted accordingly. Balaram is so intelligent. He He is the most intelligent. He is the original spiritual master. He is maintaining, by his potency, the spiritual world. He is creating the material world and maintaining the material world. Actually, he does everything practically for Krishna. That's his pastime expansion. He does everything for Krishna so that Krishna can be free simply to enjoy his transcendental energies with his devotees. But still, Lord Balaram, even though he's in that condition, position, even though Lord Balaram is not different than Krishna, he's not a different soul than Krishna. He's Krishna's expansion. He's Krishna expanded into another form to help him with his pastimes. Only difference is his color. Only difference. Same form, same features, same bodily characteristics. Only the color differs. Otherwise, he's exactly the same as Krishna. But still, he feels himself servant of Krishna. Aham sarvasi prabhavo matam sarva pravartate iti matma bhajanti mam bhuta bhava samarpita. Krishna says, I am the source of everything, spiritual and material, including his spiritual expansions, including the spiritual world, including everything. Krishna is the source. So therefore, Lord Balaram also doesn't feel complete. He doesn't feel normal as long as Krishna is in this state of anxiety, feeling separation from Braj. This is what devotional service is. In essence, devotional service is that act, those acts, which are meant to bring this mind and senses of Krishna satisfaction. We are meant to please Krishna. That is our original constitutional position. And because Krishna's intense desire is to please his devotees, if we really want to be servants of Krishna, then we have to want to please Krishna's devotees. The essence of devotional service is to act in a way that Krishna's devotees, their minds and their senses, are pleased. Therefore, the external things that we do to maintain a very nice atmosphere are important. The impersonalists, they don't believe that anything that has form is real. Therefore, they don't care about the externals, things that have form. They don't care about them because they think they're just illusion. But the Vaishnavas, we understand that everything is coming from Krishna, that this material world is actually Krishna's world, belongs to Krishna, and therefore it should be organized and maintained, you know, perfectly, and not more than perfectly. It should be made as fragrant and beautiful and attractive, tasty as possible. So devotional service means that we want Krishna's devotees to be, to their senses to be, according to their position. Not that we treat everyone the same, but you know what a brahmachari needs is less than what a king needs. But whatever the brahmacharis do have and need, it should be done for the pleasure of the senses and mind of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. This is pure devotional service. Any other understanding is tinged with impersonal understanding. Therefore, if we're in anxiety, if we don't feel comfortable, here Lord Balarama says, until Krishna recovered from his confusion, Balaram could not feel completely normal. As long as there are devotees around you who are not feeling proper, then you can't feel proper. If you come in and see the deities not done properly, if you see the deities, you know, not fragrant, not effulgent, not happy, then you can't feel proper if you're a devotee. But if you're an impersonalist, or if your devotional service is tinged still with impersonalism, then all you can do is think about yourself. All you can do is think about how you're comfortable or not. And if you're not, then you look out at somewhere else to blame something or someone. And therefore you can't feel comfortable because you're not engaging proactively with your mind and your senses constantly in trying to satisfy, trying to serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees. This is pure devotional service. And tied in with that is everything. how neat things are, how clean things are, how fragrant things are, how beautiful things are. We want to make our living space, our atmosphere, the world that we live in, as clean and fresh and fragrant and beautiful and regulated and neat and as in order as possible. Why? Because that's the way Krishna likes things. I'll give you an example. There was one time one of the secretaries of the Prime Minister of India's Home Office came here by reference from someone. And he had naturally an entourage, security entourage. I think he was here when he saw this. So when they came in, one of the security men, you know, started to make comments about the ashram. Oh, look at this wood, look at this marble, you know, why are they living so... And the man, the secretary, the actual big man, he looked at him and he said, this is the way the spiritual world is supposed to be. Do you have a problem with that? And of course the man was completely shut down because he's, you know, subordinate. But I thought it was a nice comment, because sometimes devotees think that renunciation means that we, you know, should live underneath a tree. Now, of course, this is one form of devotional service, is to live underneath the tree, not care about our bodies and neglect those things in order to go deeply into Krishna consciousness. But if we're not going deeply into Krishna consciousness, and we're just doing those things to avoid some trouble or something in the material world that we, you know, have a problem with, then we will be unhappy. We will not be happy. Our minds will not be happy. You see, the soul, this is a very good point being made here. How Balaram could not feel completely normal as long as Krishna was in a state of confusion. Of course, Krishna's state of confusion is not normal. Krishna's state of confusion is a result of his extreme feelings of love in separation from his devotees in Vrindavan. But still, even though it's that like that, he's not normal. He's not conscious. He's lying on the ground. He's crying. So Lord Balaram, he can't feel normal completely until Krishna comes back to his normal state. They're supposed to be there in Dwarka. They're supposed to be performing this duty to the world, you know, to deliver the world from demons, demoniac elements, so that the devotees can be happy and do their devotional service. Krishna is always trying to serve his devotees. We as devotees, sometimes we don't take such pleasure at serving Krishna's devotees, but Krishna, he takes all his pleasure in serving his devotees. So if it's good enough for Krishna, it should be good enough for us. If pleasing Krishna's devotees is good enough for Krishna, then it should be good enough for us. Therefore, a devotee, a pure devotee of Krishna, takes full satisfaction in serving Krishna's devotees. Das anudas anudas. Gopi bhartu padakamalim. Das anudas anudas. This was Lord Chaitanya's method of worshipping Krishna. And it's the same method as the gopis worship Krishna. So Lord Balaram is extremely intelligent. He sees that Krishna is not in a normal state. He can't feel comfortable because Krishna is in a normal state. But he recognizes that there's something going on here. Because he was unconscious also, along with Krishna. And he came to consciousness before external consciousness, before Krishna. So then he could see that, oh, this is some arrangement that's been made here. Here we are now in New Vrindavan. So then he knew, he's so intelligent, he's Krishna, he knows everything, he's omniscient. So he knows, oh, Lord Brahma, he made this arrangement, so let me cooperate. See the point? Again and again and again, let me cooperate. Even Lord Balaram, let me cooperate with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is, a qualitative incarnation, but he's contacting the mode of passion. He's definitely in a lower position than Balaram. So Balaram is not discriminating against Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma is, you know, materially tinged. He wants to cooperate with Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma is a servant of Krishna. So living together in Krishna consciousness in these ashrams or temples or wherever means that we should cooperate with one another. The more we cooperate with one another, the more we try to use proactively our senses and our minds and our intelligences in order to cooperate with the devotees in loving service to Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna's senses and mind, for the pleasure of the mind and senses of his devotees, the more we can feel completely normal. This is the secret of success in pure devotional service. Text 19:20. Chipram swasya anujasyapi samarja bhadanam bhujam vastro darantade vamshin shringavetre chahastayo kante kadamba malam cha barha pidam chamordani navam gunja vatansam cha kanayor nidadeshanai. Balaram quickly cleaned his own lotus face and that of his younger brother. He then gently placed the flute in the waist of Krishna's dhoti, a buffalo horn and stick in Krishna's hands, a garland of kadamba flowers around his neck, a peacock feather ornament on his head, and newly fashioned rings of gunja berries on his ears. If Krishna wakes up and he finds himself dressed like the king of Dwarka and he's in Braj, in the forest, he's going to become even more confused. So Lord Balaram thinks, oh, let me cooperate with Krishna's plan and I will dress Krishna in a way that he will be able to relate and identify with himself being in Braj. Krishna, he doesn't wear these things outside of Braj. He only wears these things outside of Braj. And therefore, when he is dressed like this, he is most charming. He is most charming. And we'll see later on that even the Dwarkavasis, who are now hiding behind trees and in the bushes and at a distance waiting to see what's going to happen, they become so overwhelmed. They feel a love for Krishna that they never felt before. It's sweeter, it's stronger, it's juicier, it's everything, more. And a couple of them couldn't even contain themselves. And they wanted to run after Krishna. And then Uddhava and the others had to bring them back. No, let's follow the plan. Let's cooperate. When we were in Mayapur, and the Abhishek of the Panchatattva was going on, it was such a wonderful scene. These deities, huge deities, 11 feet tall, the deities, from the tip of the hand to the top of the toes. 11 feet tall. That's like as tall as the ceiling. And they're up on a platform and they just look huge. And they had to have a scaffolding around the deities so that the pujaris could reach them and do the things they needed to do. So there were the deities and there was a scaffolding and there was all these little devotees, you know, like dwarfs, you know, like stationed all over the scaffolding, and they were touching them and doing this and rubbing this and rubbing that. And it was wonderful, actually. It was just wonderful. The atmosphere that's created when devotees are wholeheartedly together trying to serve Krishna. This is what creates Braj Dham. This is what creates the atmosphere. Sankirtan, the congregational. Sang means together, serving Krishna together, chanting Hare Krishna together. The more we do things together, devotional service, the more we feel happy, the more we feel complete, the more we feel properly situated. So Balaram is understanding Lord Brahma's plan and he's cooperating. his own initiative. He doesn't wait for Lord Brahma to come and tell him, now do this, now do that. And he just sits there. Nobody tells you what to do, then you just sit there. You don't know what to do. This is confused mentality. The soul must do devotional service. The soul must take initiative. It's not that devotional service, it's not that being, you know, part and parcel of Krishna and connected again with Krishna like a machine part means that we just, you know, things happen automatically and we're not aware and we're not, you know, taking initiative, we're not consciously doing. No, we need to consciously, you know, use the gifts that Krishna has given us, our intelligence, our senses, our strength, our abilities, our talents, our inclinations, whatever we have. We need to use those things in service to Krishna. So Balaram, being most intelligent, he takes initiative and he dresses Krishna, you know, so that he will be able to, when he comes back to his consciousness, he will be able to fit in to the drama that Lord Brahma is directing to bring him back to gradually to normal state of consciousness. This is the plan. Text 21. Rajayit va bhanyabesham twastri kalpita vastubihi valat uthapayan dritva bravis uch chatara swarai. Thus, having arranged a forest outfit for Krishna, with items made by Vishwakarma, Balaram, with some effort, lifted Krishna and then spoke to him loudly. Commentary. While dressing Krishna for the forest, Balaram also dressed himself. I mean, if he would have dressed Krishna like a cowherd boy and then he was there dressed as a prince, then also Krishna would be confused. It wouldn't fit. The special items required were native to Braj and unavailable in Dwarka. But Vishwakarma, who had at his disposal all the creative skills of the demigods, had made convincing substitutes for real kadamba flowers, gunja berries, and so on. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing in devotional service. In practical devotional service, we're taking the things that are in this material world and we're fashioning them in such a way as they resemble as much as possible those things that Krishna uses and likes and enjoys in Goloka. This is devotional service. And by associating with that environment, by associating with the energy, Krishna's energy that is fashioned, arranged by his devotees in a way to resemble the spiritual world. We live in the spiritual world. And we're reminded constantly of the spiritual world. And this way we wake up. Eventually we wake up. So we will stop here before Krishna wakes up out of his trance. Hare Krishna.